welcome to Change Surfer Radio. For the next half hour, keep your mind open and your radio tuned to the left as we present a sexy high-tech vision of our radically democratic future.
I'm talking with Lisa Rodriguez. She's a student here at UConn and practitioner of Santeria. Welcome, Lisa.
Hi, Jim. It's great to be on your show. Welcome to WHUA.
Well, in a way, I'm returning the favor because you've been on my show, or I've been on your show, and now you're coming on my show. In fact, I want to thank you for getting me involved in WHUS. It's been a real treat.
My pleasure. We need to have more intellectuals, real bona fide, certified intellectuals on board.
Now, it's been fascinating to me that you've been involved in Afro-Caribbean religion, and so I want to talk to you a little bit about that. Can you define the term Santeria and Yoruba and Voodoo for us?
Okay, well, Santeria is actually a kind of a pidgin word in Spanish, meaning of the saints. And Yoruba refers to the, actually is an ethnic group in Nigeria, and it refers to the fact that the African saints and deities that you see in both Spanophone and Lusophone speakers of Santeria are from Yoruba religions. You do have people who practice Yoruba religion straight from Africa that are in America that bypass Santeria, okay? Now, voodoo is more of a death cult, and there is some discrepancy over where the word really comes from. You also see the word voodooan, and some people say it's a Creole word that is just like Santeria in that it means of the saints or of the spirits.
And is voodoo strictly Haitian?
No, voodooan, as I understand it, is strictly Haitian in its basic conceptualization and practice. There's some things that are idiosyncratic to voodoo, like the resurrection ceremonies where practitioners take an opiate and appear to be dead and are actually buried.
The zombification.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. The zombification.
Right, which is, it's popularized in the movie Serpent and the Saint, or?
I think so. I've actually seen some Haitian voodoo films, actually, with animal sacrifice. I know you'll get to that later. But I would say that Yoruba and Santeria differ in that they don't focus on the death aspects as much as voodoo. Some of your callers might take exception, but that's what my research says, and that's how I feel as a Santeria practicer.
Mm-hmm. Now, what are the countries in the Caribbean and Latin America that actually have Santeria as a nature religion?
Okay, all countries where there have been slaves in the diaspora have Santeria, and countries where you have, the slave owners were Catholic, that is a very important part of the Santeria because of the duality between what is Catholic and what is animist. And you don't see Santeria or voodoo in places where the slave owners were Protestant.
Because they suppressed native religions.
Yes, and there are no saints. In Catholicism, are you Catholic, Jim?
No. I'm actually a Buddhist Unitarian.
You're a Buddhist Unitarian, okay. And in your Catholic listeners know that you believe in saints as intercessors, that they go between you and God, asking you or petitioning for you. So it's the perfect vehicle for the African transported gods to attach them, link them, or rename them in such a way that they take on the essence of, if you will, of a Catholic saint. But in Protestantism, there are no saints.
Mm-hmm. So the saints perform a connection between the gods of African religion that got syncretized onto Catholicism.
Yes, that's a word I have trouble pronouncing. For instance, my Oshun is Santa Barbara. I often say Santa Barbara, but people who practice Santeria are going to say Chango. Okay, mm-hmm. And the Santa Barbara candle is red. And some botanicas, when you buy the candle, it actually has both the Yoruba-derived god and the saint on at the same time. You just turn it around.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how it works.
Mm-hmm. And would you take that candle and actually burn it as a votive offering in a Catholic church?
If it has Tango on it? No. But some, I think the last one I bought only had Santa Barbara on it. And sometime, and the candles, you can buy some of these candles in Stop and Shop and Big Y that just have the Spanish words and the Catholic saints.
So, obviously, you don't think that Santeria is incompatible with Christianity?
No, I don't. I think that they go together. And I was having this discussion, it was a very interesting discussion with some African Christians and some African Muslims about being an animist. And they brought up to me the fact that you can, that in before they became Muslim or before they became Christian, that they were told in order to be more sophisticated, they had to believe in a monotheistic God. Now, you can be an animist and still be monotheistic.
Mm-hmm.
They're not necessarily separate.
Okay, how does that work? If you believe in the Oshuns, the gods, and yet you believe in one creator God.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
So that's how it works.
So the gods are powerful spirits. They're like angels.
Mm-hmm.
And they can perform acts in our lives.
Or they're like saints. Mm-hmm. They're smaller gods.
Mm-hmm.
And for some people, a smaller god is a saint. It's a shade of gray.
Mm-hmm. Now, in the United States, Santeria seems to be on the rise. Would you say that's true?
I think that it's in the rise. I think that people like me who are categorized nowadays as Black Latin. I think that in our attempts to become more African, we want to know more about the Santero, or these healers that, you know, that people talked about. American Online, believe it or not, has chat rooms dedicated to African spirituality.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's actually quite a lot of Santeria and African spirituality on the internet. And I have some links on the Event Horizon website that people can check out. So Santeria, it's not just a Black thing.
Let's go backwards. In the way that Santeria or the Yoruba gods or the, there are other West African countries involved here, in the way that the saints or the Yoruba and gods get to America, of course, is strictly through African slaves, but in the actual practice, no, it gets shared. Everyone in the Dominican Republic and everyone in Puerto Rico and Cuba, they know about it, but the practitioners are not necessarily the most African looking or the most African appearing. You have
in those countries, mm-hmm. It's not associated with dark skin.
Well, in countries where the color caste system isn't the way it is in the United States, and I hope you get some Black callers who call in, who
we don't do callers yet on our show.
Well, I hope
especially for this one. God,
I hope they email you. You know, in places in the Spanish speaking countries and the Portuguese speaking countries, the mixing of the races was always more free because, you know, for instance, it was legal for white Catholic men to marry an African slave or marry an Indian woman, which, you know, since I've been born, it hasn't been legal. It wasn't legal in all 50 states when I was born for mm-hmm. interracial marriage.
Miscegenation.
That's right. So the miscegenation that has taken place in those countries, it was freer.
Mm-hmm.
So the practicers are not necessarily, you know, like Maroons who live in a certain area. You'll find Babalawos and Omo and Yas and Santeros and Santeros that could be classified as white. That's mm-hmm. what I'm getting at.
Mm-hmm. Now, in the United States, most of the Botanicas and Santeros are going to be Latin American, though.
Yeah, they're going to be from the Dominican Republic, Cuba, or Puerto Rico.
Okay. How about in Connecticut? Where are there hotbeds of Santeria activity?
Well, Santeria, I'm an open practicer, but Santeria still has a lot of secrecy. When I used to work in drug treatment and I was seen sprinkling a baño y despojo called Espiritu Santo, I think I'm mispronouncing it, holy water, on my computer, a lot of my Puerto Rican...
The computer
people
were probably upset at you as well.
Well, they were laughing. Uh-huh. Some of my Puerto Rican colleagues were laughing, saying, oh, my grandmother does that, and that stuff doesn't work. Because it has had a stigma of being something people, of an old way of, that people used to do. With you, I don't know if you know, but I've written a film play about Santa.
Oh, no, really?
Yeah, it's called Six of One, Half a Dozen of the Other. And the because of the subject matter, one, the protagonist uses it and the antagonist. They both are practicers. One uses it for evil, one uses it for good. But people don't want to talk about it from the Hispanophone cultures because it's not going to help you assimilate, for instance, mm-hmm. and it's kind of secretive.
Mm-hmm. And most American Christians think it's devil worship.
Well, I would definitely say most Black American people are openly hostile.
Mm-hmm.
I grew up as an African Methodist Episcopal, and my family's really from Portuguese-speaking Africa, and they definitely started out Catholic, but there is a phenomenon of people from Cape Verde who go from being Catholic to becoming Methodist. I don't know why and how that happens, but most Black people are Baptists, and they will be openly hostile and tell you they have no tolerance for anything that's not Christian. When I sell African art, for instance, I have Black customers who say, I can't buy that mask. It's against my religion.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's very interesting given the current attempts to do outreach with the Nation of Islam and the kind of Islam, of course, being also very hostile to nature religions.
Perhaps that's true, but people who belong to the Nation, my husband is Muslim from Africa.
Uh-huh.
People who belong to Farrakhan's band or even Elijah Muhammad's son's band, because they're not the same,
right.
They have more rules and regulations that they put on themselves. They're very much interested in being a separatist group. And it's, you're right, they have no tolerance for what is not Muslim.
Right. Okay, being ridden by the gods.
Well, I refer to that as a spirit coming down.
Okay.
And certain people, like I said to you at the top of the show, that my patron saint is Santa Barbara, or my Orisha is Chang'e. Now, at a ceremony, now, there are different levels. Let me back up and say there are different levels of devotion. I've never been to any type of ceremony. I'm an individual practicer.
Oh, okay.
On my music show that aired up until I had my second child, I interviewed I interviewed an Omo Inya, which is the sacred drummer. Now, I forgot your question, Jim.
Well, I'm interested in the practice of possession, basically.
The possession. The reason why I'm mentioning him is that every spirit has a drum beat. Now, this is typically African. Every spirit has a drum. So if you have, if you believe in a certain Orisha and they play this Orisha's beat, then you're going to start doing a dance that's associated with that Orisha, and therefore everyone will say that Orisha has come down, or like you say, the Orisha has come down and has possessed your body, and you will be doing that dance or that beat
mm-hmm.
to that beat.
Mm-hmm. Is it just voodoo that refers to it as being ridden like a horse?
I don't know. I asked, before I came on your show, I asked a practicer of Santeria that, and she said no, that was also a term.
Mm-hmm.
But for me, that was the first time I'd seen that term. I used the other
term. I taught you something.
Yes, you did. You're a professor after all. I had to get that in.
Now, you mentioned that the gods, there is the various saints, and of course within Catholicism, to become a saint, you have to be a pretty good person. Are there good and bad orishas, though?
Oh, definitely. It's interesting. I'm going to take that back to, okay, if we believe Santeria is a derivative or even a compilation of different types of West African religions. My husband is from Senegal, and he claims to be Muslim, but I put forth that a lot of African people have animist practices that they keep secret. And in my husband, he doesn't have a name for the animist religion. He just uses the French word animist. Okay, he will say that if you are coveting your neighbor's cows, for instance, you could go to a bad witch, we'll say, and she would cause all your neighbor's cows to die, and then your neighbor wouldn't have any cows anymore. Or you could go to a good witch, and she would cause your daughter to marry your neighbor's son, and then you would get all those cows. You can have a trabajito maleo, which is a bad work. I don't deal in bad works. Once you do a bad work, then you have to keep doing protection works to keep protecting. I only do the good works.
Mm-hmm.
And that it can be used for good or evil. In my script, six of one, half a dozen of the other, the murderer is a physician who hypnotizes her patients to death, but she uses Santeria. She only uses her power for evil. So it's different in that in Catholicism, all the saints are good. I mean, mm-hmm. you have to be canonized, you have to go through a process.
Mm-hmm.
But it's different in that you can call on a saint to, like you can have Chango, who I mentioned, slay your enemies.
Mm-hmm.
So that is how it differs. Voodoo has a lot more, focuses more power on doing evil and doing bad works, as you will see from people who practice it in New Orleans. They're very much interested in getting rid of somebody's wife and getting rid of somebody's husband,
mm-hmm.
Those kinds of spells.
One of the problems with assimilation of Santeria and Afro-Caribbean religion in the United States has been the practice of animal sacrifice. Can you describe the role of animal sacrifice?
Certainly. The animal sacrifice is supposed to occur, of course, in a certain type of ceremony for a certain reason. For instance, the drums that the sacred drummer uses, the omo and ya, are made from the skin of a sacrificed animal, and that is consistent with West African or African practices, period. Now, I have seen animal sacrifice in a voodoo ceremony, but this was a film, and what I was appalled over is that the initiates or the devotees were encouraged to bite the head off this chicken.
Right. Which we have in American circus acts as well.
So, you know, you can't make a drum out of chicken skin.
Right.
But the mammals that are sacrificed, cows and goats primarily, the meat is eaten and the skin is used for a drum. And it gets very specific. Certain sacred drummers will only play a drum made out of a certain type of animal skin, for instance.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't, I'm not a believer in animal sacrifices. Now, this is interesting. A lot of people, when they hear you don't practice a Christian religion, ask you about animal sacrifices, but it's just like as if they have forgotten their Old Testament stories.
Oh, yeah. Ancient Judaism practiced animal sacrifice.
Definitely. Definitely. So I don't believe in them. My husband is Muslim, and he and some Muslims on campus every year, they do sacrifice a goat
mm-hmm.
for
Ramadan.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm very distressed by it.
Mm-hmm.
I can't eat the food, the meat.
So your husband is Muslim, but it comes from a part of Africa where Muslims are down with native religion as well?
Well, my husband says, you know, he would describe himself as Muslim to anybody, but he says that in Senegal, for instance, if you go to the mosque and it's a hot day, when the imam takes his shirt off, you'll see these voodoo belts around his waist.
Wow.
Yeah.
Double whammy.
Yep.
So if people are interested in Santeria in the area, are there local experts or contacts or botanicas?
Well, you can go to the Botanic on Main Street in Willimantic. There used to be Cuban people who run it, but now it's run by a Mexican man, and I'm not sure where his wife is from. You should be able to – well, I read in Spanish. That's very helpful for reading the spells, how to do the candles and the baths. But in Hartford has several Santeras and Santeros.
Cool.
Mm-hmm.
There is also connections on the Event Horizon website at www.changesurfer.com/Event Horizon in lowercase letters / and you can make a connection there. You can see a picture of Angel Fall and make a connection to Santera resources and the local pagan organization on campus as well. So this has been Jay Hughes with Event Horizon. Lisa, it's been a real pleasure talking to you.
Thank you so much.
You've been listening to Change Surfer Radio. Change Surfer Radio is produced at WHUS-FM at the University of Connecticut in Storrs. If you want to learn more about radical democratic transhumanism, or you want to share your thoughts about this show with me, Dr. J, email me at jhughes, J-H-U-G-H-E-S, at changesurfer.com. Also, check out past and future shows and myriad relevant links at the website, www.changesurfer.com.